Welcome to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Some exotic booze, there's a bar.
Well, I'm very happy you're with us. And I'm even happier that I'm going to be able to introduce you today to some very interesting people. And we're going to start off this hour introducing you to some very interesting people who have just come back from Ireland with the help of the travel fairy godmother herself, Stephanie Abrams. And it is always gratifying when I have helped to plan and implement and help to make possible a trip that when the people come back, they're really happy campers. And I have to tell you, I can remember a time years ago when I planned a trip for some people, and I was very hesitant about planning that trip because I know the woman in this couple going back 100 years, and there was a period of decades when I went out of my way not to speak with them, this couple. And then we kind of got over ourselves and re-befriended one another. And after the trip I planned for them, I realized why it was decades that we didn't communicate. Sometimes you have to get hit in the head with a brick twice before you learn. But my experience has generally been that happy people cannot help but be happy in Ireland, of all places on the planet, because there is just a philosophical bent. There is an aura. It's like Scotland's fictitious Brigadoon coming to life and being there every day, all day. And so I can't wait to get the debriefing on the trip that Alan and Judy Cass have just come back, barely over jet lag, come back from Ireland, and let them bring us up to date on their experiences. So we're going to be talking with them right after this.
This weather report is brought to you by the Curaçao Tourism Board. The long-range weather forecast for the north coast-to-coast calls for snow, sleet, icy rain, slippery roads, and a wind chill factor well below freezing. The long-range forecast for Curaçao calls for warm and sunny today, warm and sunny tomorrow, next month, and the months that follow, with highs around 86 degrees and lows around 76. Isn't it time to plan your breakaway in Curaçao now? Learn more at Curaçao.com. That's Curaçao.com.
I am thrilled to introduce you to Alan and Judy Cass. And Alan, I know for sure, has been a listener almost back to the very beginnings of when we went on the air for the first time. Because in the first couple of years of Travel with Stephanie Abrams, we used to do on-air giveaways. And we did lucky caller number 5, lucky caller number 7, lucky caller number 3 if we didn't have a lot of time. And every once in a while when we wanted to play with the people in the control room at the network, we would do something like lucky caller number 17 and drive them mad. And Alan was driving somewhere on his way to Washington, D.C., when we did a giveaway of a one-week all-inclusive stay at the Super Clubs in Curaçao. And he was lucky caller number, 5 or 7, whatever number we were using that day. And he said something that I thought was so phony. So amazingly phony. And the reason I thought it was amazingly phony was that he said, this is a dream come true. Now, how could it be a dream come true that you want a trip to Curaçao? That this didn't mesh. And that Monday, because the show's always been a Sunday show, that Monday, we called to, make the arrangements and whatever, get the information we needed when he could be available to travel and, set up his trip. And I said, explain to me the comment, this is a dream come true. Alan, you want to explain that story?
Oh, absolutely. I had been teaching a novel that was set in Curacao to my sixth grade students for many years. And I'd always wanted to visit it so I could bring back firsthand experience of the place. And when I won this trip from you, Stephanie, all I could think of was how I was going to be able to connect these kids to the actual place. No, because a lot of this was before internet or before anything that you could bring digitally into the classroom. And your trip enabled me to go over and to get those experiences and artifacts to bring back and did nothing but enrich the experience of teaching that novel with the kids.
What was the name of the novel?
The name of the book was The K, which was set there during World War II. And all began in Curacao with a shipwreck that left from that city, that island.
Was it the fellow or woman who wrote it based on their experiences during World War II?
It was. He was, Theodore Taylor was actually a war correspondent and writer and photographer who was living in Curacao at the time. And so during that time, he had all this rich experience. And then it wasn't until about 25 years later that he was able to finally go back. And he went back to live on the island again for 3 months while he wrote the book, wrote the novel.
Wow. Well, that was our first connection. And I want to say that was something like 2003 or 4.
Yeah, definitely. Because my son was about 14. He was in the car with me when we won the trip.
Oh, wow.
And trying to make sure I didn't drive off the road.
That was a good thing. That was a good thing. And so Alan has been a fan all these years and drops me love notes by email now and again. And just, you know, there's been this, you know, I have a habit of developing relationships with people that are based on just unusual and chance encounters. And you're counted very much among that, Alan. And I'm thrilled that I got to meet Judy and that I was able to play a role in helping to develop a wonderful trip to Ireland. Why did you pick Ireland as a destination?
Well, for me, it was always a place that I thought of almost like a fantasy. When I married Judy, and Judy is second-generation Irish, she had told me about living there after high school. And I was nagging her to death about going there. And I don't know, Judy, you explain a little bit about why you didn't want to go.
Well, I didn't want to go back, Stephanie. I had a hesitation. It's not that I didn't want to go back, but I had such a magical time there. It was 1972, so it was 46 years ago. And I didn't want that magical memory to be distorted because people had told me that, oh, Ireland's changed. Ireland is not what it used to be. So
I heard that about Paris recently.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
So then what happened?
So it was like I had this feeling of not wanting to go, but yet, of course, my dear husband wanted to go in the worst of ways, and it just kept getting more and more like, I want to go, I want to go, I want to go. So finally, you know, this being our 40th anniversary, we wanted to do something special. So we decided together that this would be the thing to do.
Well, I hope that you've gotten to Ireland. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I said I've been following your trips and your videos on Ireland, and I said we have to call Stephanie. She's going to make sure it's fine, better than fine.
Yeah, well, certainly they're at sabrams.com, travelers411.com. And now if you go to sabrams.com, sabrams.com, and you click on Travel TV, which is just to the left of the search box at the top of the page, it'll take you over to the YouTube site where we are archiving the Travel TV with Stephanie Abrams shows. And of the first 10 episodes, 5 1/3 of them are about Ireland. So we certainly have given you an awful lot of information and motivation to push you over the edge. I'm glad you went. We're going to take a quick commercial break, come right back, and talk about where'd you go, what'd you do, where'd you stay, what'd you love, all that.
Right.
So don't leave me. We'll be right back.
Portions of today's show brought to you in part by Malta, where you'll find walled cities, baroque towns, sleepy villages, gorgeous seaside resorts, wonderful hotels and spas, great restaurants, beautiful beaches, the spiritual paths of St. Paul, and the Cathedral of the Knights of the Order of St. John. Whatever your interest, you'll find it in Malta. For details, go to visitmalta.com.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
On the line with me are Alan and Judy Cass, Mr. and Mrs. who have just celebrated their 40th anniversary in Ireland. What a grand place to celebrate anything, even just celebrating that you are alive and breathing and able to get to places. That alone is worth celebrating. So you just came back last week and you were gone 9 days and 8 nights. And let's find out about where you went and what you did and what you loved. And I want to hear about your reaction to the hotels that I planned for you. And talk. Go.
Sure.
I'm unzipping the story. Run.
Okay. Well, we began the trip in Dublin, where we were at the Spencer Hotel, which was gorgeous. And an unbelievable opportunity to enjoy an incredible stay as well as be in the heart of everything that we wanted to do.
Did you go over the Spencer Hotel is in the part of Dublin town that has a lot of American businesses there. I bet you saw all kinds of logos of American tech companies and it's a financial district. You're in walking distance from there to Epic Ireland. Were you able to get over there?
Yes, we did. We had a wonderful visit at Epic Ireland. It really brought us through a lot of information through kind of scenes and all kinds of movies explanations about the emigration of Irish people into Ireland and emigrating out of Ireland and history. And it was organized on a thematic approach, so it was really different. It was unique, it wasn't crowded. It was absolutely wonderful. It really was a great way to start the trip because it gave us, like, a background.
You know, I love that place. And what they did was they built it in the lower level, they call it the vaults, of this building that's now on the main level. It's a mall. You know, it's like an indoor shopping mall. There's some cafes, and they run big parties there. We were guests. That whole big area, when you walk to the back, and there's that big area that's just open. And then you go to the right, and that's where you enter Epic Ireland. Well, that whole big area and that space to the left, we were at a party. There must have been, I don't know, 500 to 700 people at sit-down dinner in that spot. And it's the Customs Quarter House.
Yes, the Customs House. Yeah,
but it's like either CHQ or CQH. I forget which way those letters run together. And the person who owns that building decided to utilize the lower level where they used to store crates and boxes and things. And they did a wonderful job. Lots of interactive video. And there's one section where They're not actually books on the shelf, but it's molded to look like they're books on the shelf. And every one of those books is a title and the author's name of a book written by an Irishman. And I can't tell you how many books I saw on that shelf. I didn't realize that person was Irish.
Wow.
You know, was it
very interesting?
Yeah.
I also love the, there's one room with sheet music. And I'm one of the, I took pictures of a couple of the covers of the sheet music. And one of the songs was My Yiddisha Colleen. I love that. I'll have to email you that picture I have. It's in my iPad. Yeah, you'll like it. I'll put it up in a blog. So, well, I'm glad you got to go over there. What else did you do in Dublin?
Well, we went to Trinity College and the Book of Kells, which was, you know, just not to be believed. Just could have been there for a lot longer, just reading and seeing the history that evolved there.
Did you go upstairs into the library?
Yes, we did.
Is that not a marvel?
Oh, my goodness. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Seeing the work close up.
You can't take pictures. I would say pictures do not really reflect what it was like being in that place.
You know,
really incredible.
That when it was first built, they filled, first of all, it has every first edition of every English writer, Shakespeare, Chaucer, you name it. It's in that section. And it got all crowded with books and they had no more room. So the architect was very clever and figured out how to lift that domed roof and put another level on.
I know.
That's quite an amazing story.
It's a feat.
And you feel like when you walk in there that you're like in the Sistine Chapel or something, you know? It's so immense.
Another place that feels like that. And that's in Melk, M-E-L-K, Melk Abbey. And if you are in Vienna, you can get there. You can get there by boat. You can get there by car. You can get there by train. And we visited, the last time we visited, we were on a riverboat. And that has one of those, an amazing library, but that building has that feel as well. It's quite amazing. All right, so what else did you do in Dublin?
Well, we went down to, we did a nice long walk around the River Liffey and tried to get over some of the jet lag and then had an incredible dinner at a place that you had recommended, the Trocadero restaurant.
Oh, God, I love that place. Trocadero. Isn't it like walking into a Victorian Valentine?
That's the perfect description. Exactly.
And the food is great. Did you have a good meal?
Incredible.
Oh, delicious, yeah.
Incredible. And the whole thing that was perfect for us was that we were able to walk everywhere. We didn't have to get a cab. We didn't have to worry about any mass transit. We just, from that hotel, we could walk to all of that.
That's wonderful. But if you wanted to take mass transit, if you leave the Spencer Hotel and you make a right turn to the corner, like half a block, and then you make another turn, the Lewis, which I think is spelled L-U-A-S. I don't know what the letters stand for. It's an above ground trolley system that looks like a 21st century bullet. You know, it's this very sleek-looking train car conveyance, and it'll get you all over Dublin.
Yeah.
Well, interestingly, the last day that we were in Dublin, we did get a chance to take the Lewis, and it was so funny because we were in Sandyford, and we went into Dublin, and it was empty, and we did some more looking around. We went to Stephen's Green, and we went down to Grafton Street, and we went to Bewley's, and several other things that were on our list. And on the way home, you could barely breathe. It was so crowded because it was the commuter part of the day.
A good time not to be in any train in any city. If you ever go to Tokyo, avoid rush hours. We'll be right back, people. Don't leave me.
Stephanie Abrams Travel Show is brought to you by Amtrak. It's time to see New York and save 15% with Amtrak. Plan your 15% saving getaway today at Amtrak.com and click on deals and look for See New York and save 15%.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I am delighted to have on the line with me returning travelers, Alan and Judy Cass. They've just gotten back from Ireland. And Alan, was this, you were there once before, no?
No, it was Judy that was there before.
Oh, okay. So this was your first trip. And
right.
So is there anything else in Dublin that you did that we haven't talked about?
Well, on our final day when we went in from the Beacon, we took the Lewis in.
Okay, so now the Beacon Hotel is in Sandyford, which is in County
right.
Dublin, but it's not in the downtown, and it's a great place to stay anytime, really. But if it's the night that you have the last night or two before you're flying home, it's like a block and a half from the M50, the motorway number 50, and you get on that, and in 20 minutes, you're at the airport. So it's a great getaway in the morning. You don't have to start fighting downtown traffic and wait for your car to come from the garage and all that jazz that you have to deal with when you're in a downtown, you know, congested area. Another place I like to stay the night before I fly is Rathsalla Country House, because even though it's in County Wicklow, it's a 40-minute drive to the airport and you kind of miss all the traffic. So very cool. So, but you had plans that when you got to the Beacon, you were going to jump on the Lewis and take that public transportation into downtown Dublin. How did that, so you wouldn't have to drive your car in, deal with the traffic,
exactly.
deal with the parking. So how did that work?
It worked perfectly. We were able to walk from the Beacon. It was about a 10-minute walk to the station. On the way in, it was incredibly beautiful to just enjoy. You know, it's exactly like you described, the type of transit it was. We went to Grafton Street. We got off at the St. Stephen's Green stop, and it was really one of those magical days. We learned this in Ireland, that when the sun comes out, everybody celebrates. It seems to be a meteorological feat that it lasts for hours, and it did. And it was like the first day of spring, it felt like there. So we spent about a good amount of time in St. Stephen's Green and enjoying being out with everybody, and then walked on Grafton Street.
Where all the shopping is.
Yep. We schmied around, did a little bit of shopping, and then...
schmied, that's a French word.
Yes,
to schmy around, yes. I speak
yes.
French fluently, so that, you know, I understand these things.
Oui, exactly.
Yes.
And then we went, Judy showed me to Bewley's for tea.
Nice.
And dessert.
And dessert. I had a hot chocolate that I had to photograph and send everybody because nobody would have believed it. I never saw anything like this place. It's incredible.
Well, send me an email of it, or better still, I'm going to give you instructions so you can go create an album at our member photos at travelers411.com. So remind me, if you don't get it from me, give me a nudge, and I'll send you the directions on how to do that. You mentioned the Beacon, but you didn't talk about it. Did you like the hotel?
You know what? We really did. It was absolutely perfect for what we wanted. Right now they're doing some renovations, and it was amazing that the renovations didn't actually affect the efficiency of the hotel or anything else. One of my favorite things at the Beacon was being able to go down after we were settled and ready for going to bed or whatever, just decompressing and going down and having an ice cream and brownie sundae in the lobby at the bar.
Ah.
Which is, you know, dessert for me and cocktails at the same time.
How long did it take you to figure out that the chandelier that's sitting on the floor to the left of the entry doorway is supposed to be there?
Thank you for telling us.
Oh, you didn't know? You didn't figure that part out, eh?
No,
that's because you were only there one day. You know, they have a sister hotel in Dublin that currently is closed for renovation. It should be opening soon. It's called The Morgan. It's on Fleet Street. And it's only a couple of blocks away from Trinity College. It's in a good location. It's in what's called Temple Bar section. It's a good, in a good location for walking around Dublin. And the first time I stayed at the Morgan, when you walk from reception to the elevators, you walk down through this, like, you know, it's not really narrow, but it's narrower than the lobby area is. So it's probably about, I don't know, 8 feet across or something like that. And as you walk, on your left, there's an angled wall that you can tell it used to be a stairway there and they closed it in. And then underneath that angled wall, there is the space that would have been under the stairway where people often put a closet or something. Well, sitting on the floor the first time I arrived was a crystal chandelier, the kind of thing your grandmother would have had over the dining table.
Right.
And it was laying there on the floor and it was on. Lights were on. And I looked at it and I thought, you know how you rationalize everything? I thought, the electrician must have been missing a part and I had to go out and get a part to finish putting up the chandelier. And we went to the elevator, went to our room, came down later, went out for dinner, went back to the room, went upstairs, came down for breakfast. Went out sightseeing all day, came back later that afternoon, the chandelier's still on the floor. By the third day, I figured out there's no missing part. There's no missing electrician. This thing's supposed to be here on the floor. And so it became a signature thing for that hotel group. And that's why when they opened the Beacon, just to the left of the door, there's the chandelier on the floor. Yeah, it's just part of the quirkiness of the goofiness of the hotel, like the bed in the lobby.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You go to my site, people. Go to sabrams.com, sabrams.com, and either put in the Beacon Hotel Dublin at photos, and you'll see photos of the bed in the lobby that you're supposed to lie down on, you know, sit on, have a drink, talk to your friends, a four-poster bed in the lobby. I mean, you know, they do quirky, humorous things there. So, what was your next stop?
County Roscommon, the Kilronan Castle.
Oh, my gosh. I spoke to you there. I called to see how are you doing.
That's right.
What'd you think of Kilronan Castle?
I can't even describe it, Judy. What would you think?
It was just magnificent. Everything was so well appointed. There was nothing you could ask for, and it was absolutely so tastefully done. And everybody there was so friendly.
Yeah, it was you know, the physical place was unbelievable environmentally, but the staff was not to be believed. We were able to meet Michelle Conklin, you suggested we meet, the GM. Incredible.
Isn't she something?
Yeah, and there was a woman, another woman named Alex. She was so nice.
Everybody we met there, you could tell they all enjoyed their jobs.
Yeah, they have a fabulous staff.
Yeah.
And, I just love that place. Love that place. You told me something about the dinner you had there that I want you to share with our listeners.
Oh, well, I would say that's probably, I'm not sure exactly what I said, but if I didn't tell you that was one of the best dinners I had in my life, I would have been, remiss.
Well, that was it. You said that was, because I called, you had just finished dinner, and you said that was the best dinner I've had in my life. That's going some.
It's true, and... Yet it was just all flowed too from one, it was really choreographed, incredible in terms of the serving, the food. What an experience!
The other thing we enjoyed about the castle was the next morning after an amazing breakfast, we took we went on the walking path down to the lake and we did a couple of loop trails and they were absolutely gorgeous. Wildflowers, birds. The lake, it was magical.
Aw, I'm so happy. I really am. I'm so happy. And I knew that you'd have a wonderful time. So, there wasn't any danger here than making a mistake.
No.
Incredible.
We only have about 20 seconds in this segment. We're going to take a break. But what was your next stop?
From there, we went to the Giant Causeway, to the Causeway Hotel.
Okay, well, we're going to pick it up on the other side of these important messages. So pay close attention, everybody. This is Stephanie Abrams talking with Alan and Judy Cass, just back from their Ireland trip. And we're going to catch up with them at Giant's Causeway, a place you must put on your must-visit list. We'll be right back. Don't leave me.
Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
On the line with me are Alan and Judy Cass. They've just come back from their wonderful trip to Ireland with the assistance of Stephanie Abrams' travel fairy godmother. And we left you leaving Kilronan Castle, arriving in County Antrim at Giant's Causeway at the Causeway Hotel. And one little piece that hasn't been mentioned is leaving behind Judy's suitcase at the front desk at Kilronan.
Yeah.
So that's when I got a phone call from the Causeway Hotel from slightly hysterical people. Oh, my gosh, Judy's bag is at the front desk at Kilronan Castle. What do we do? And we'll tell you what we did after. So now you got to up to Giant's Causeway to the Causeway Hotel. And what did you think of that?
I think this is one of those scenic areas and natural wonders that it's impossible to even share with pictures. You're in an area that you feel really privileged to be at. And, you know, from the minute we got there and in the actual hotel itself, and that's the thing about this trip that's amazing. Every hotel and every place is so different. It was like going from one adventure to another. And this was exactly how it felt going to the Causeway Hotel and Giant's Causeway.
What did you like about the hotel?
Well, there was a certain part of the hotel that was, it felt really reflective of where we were. It was very neat, and it was very comfortable and light. And there was a lot of light in it. And at the same time, you didn't feel it fit into the environment, you know. And from that perspective, you didn't feel like you were, you know, at a manor house, which would have been, you know, not exactly where you should have felt like. Plus, we had this incredible terrace right outside the room.
Isn't that wonderful?
That, you know,
did you get any great sunsets there?
Nailed it. Both nights we were there, we ran out. The second night we ran out. And said, just bring our dessert and leave it here. We'll be right back. And we literally ran out to get that because at that point, after the first night, we knew how incredible they were going to be.
I love being out on that on the little patios that are outside of the rooms in the new wing. The original part of the house was a country house that somebody built. And you feel like you just came home. You know, it's comfortable and... You know, you go into the bar lounge area, you feel like you're in your own living room. And then
exactly.
If you stay in the new part, which I like to be there because you walk out of your room and you've got this lovely patio and the sunsets are incredible. And if you squint, you can see Maine and Boston.
Yes, yes. Exactly. Exactly.
So and then you went to the visitor center and down to the rocks at the Causeway?
Yep, we did. We went down. We were very fortunate to have found a guide. It wasn't exactly the guy we were looking for because he wasn't there that day, but Neil was our guide.
He's lovely.
He
I know him too.
Yep. And he did a great tour taking us down. And we're in awe of it. And we just, after his, you know, presentation and tour, we just kept going and just kept walking.
Wow.
And we ended up coming back up these steps. What were they, shepherds?
Yeah, the shepherd steps. There were 162 steps.
Better
that,
than me.
The shepherds used to take their sheep up back in the day, and it was quite a walk and quite a step up.
Now, if you're a Game of Thrones person, when you leave Giant's Causeway, and the hotel is right there at the causeway, you know, it's part of, it's owned by the UK, the Northern Ireland National Trust, or National
right.
Trust Northern Ireland. I always get the words in the wrong order. And so it's really wonderful. You are right there. When you get, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you don't have to go take transportation to figure out how do we get to the causeway. You're at the causeway. But if you leave there and you make a left turn, you'll come to Dunluce Castle. You'll come to Carrickarede Rope Bridge. You'll come to Ballantoy Harbor, which is featured often in Game of Thrones. And there's an area called Dark Hedges that you drive through. All that's featured mm-hmm. in Game of Thrones. So if you're into Game of Thrones and you want to see where it's filmed, you can do that. Now, from Giant's Causeway, next you went to Sligo, no?
That's right.
To the Radisson Blues Sligo. And what was the first thing that happened when you got there?
Reunion, Judy. Tell it.
Wow. I walked in and I found out that my suitcase was waiting for me, not in the lobby, but up in the room right where you would put a suitcase. And it was just so perfect. It was like magic, like another magical part. Thank you very much, Stephanie.
Well, you know, the first thing I did was organize it with Kilronan Castle to have a taxi take the suitcase to the Radisson Blue Sligo Hotel the next day, so that the following day when you got there, 2 days later, it would be there waiting for you. And then after that was in place, I spoke with the hotel to let them know the suitcase is coming. You have to keep it in a safe place. And when it arrives, this is who it's for. So, you know, don't do anything dopey with the suitcase. And then I called. Happily, I have everybody's cell phone number, including presidents of countries. If I've interviewed them, I've got their mobile number. And I called the GM, Seamus Preston, who's the general manager of the Radisson Blue Sligo. Told him the suitcase is coming over by taxi the next day. And he said, no. Let the hotel know I'm going to be there 8:30 in the morning. And the taxi was coming 11:30. So we canceled that. And I'll pick it up. It's about 10 minutes in a little loop away from the route I take to get to Sligo, because he lives in Roscommon. And he said, I'll pick it up personally. And he brought it to his office, where it stayed until the morning after that your room was readied for your arrival, when it was put in your room, so it was there for you. We have regrettably run out of time.
Oh.
And I think we left out Micheline's
Micheline's
B&B in Kong.
Right.
Yeah.
But we did get to the Beacon. So we're going to have you back another time so you can bring us up to date on Micheline's. And you know what we could do? Can you stay with me? We're going to be talking with Jim Deegan from Rail Tours Ireland First Class. And I want to fit you in at the end of the next hour so we can hear about Micheline's. Don't leave me, everybody. We're flying high.
Let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.